being rejected at that time, after being graduated, has actually opened up a new doorway to entrepreneurship for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Geraldo Alken. Geraldo is the owner and founder of the jump rope company Elevate Rope, based out of the Netherlands. Geraldo shares the story of not getting a job out of college and the path that sent him down to become the entrepreneur he is today. He encourages us to see setbacks and difficulties as opportunities. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now, here's the conversation with Geraldo Alken. All right. We've got Geraldo Alken on the podcast. Dude, super excited to have you and hear a little bit of your story. But before we get too into the weeds on that, want to give people some context for who you are. And in the jump rope world, that's probably not needed. I think pretty much everybody knows of you or has interacted with you. But outside of that, maybe give some people some context. So when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that question?
It's always a funny thing because I literally tell them I jump rope and yeah. Then the face, what?
Okay. You can do that? Jump rope.
So is that a thing now? So jump rope. And then I just tell them like, okay, you know, I do jumping rope, do tricks, have a business around it, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah.
Yeah. And at what point were you able to say that? Like, how long have you been saying I jump rope? Like for what you do?
Now for about 3 years. I actually started jumping rope 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
And about 8 months, no, 10 months in, I launched Elevate Rope, the jump rope company.
Okay. What were you doing before?
I've played football my whole life until I was 23. Then I stopped. I tried some kickboxing for a few years in a row. Then I quit that as well. Then I gained a ton of weight.
Oh, no. And
Yeah, that happens pretty quickly for me. I love good food. And yep. If I'm not that kind of person with the body type that can just eat everything he wants, not move and not gain weight. That's not me. If I don't move and if I don't watch what I eat, like I just gain and I gain fast. So that's exactly what happened at that time. I was about 13 or 14 kilos heavier than I am now. And we were on a holiday and a friend of me told me like, yo, Geraldo, maybe you should try jumping rope. Maybe this is something you'd like. And he was doing it every morning for like 15 minutes just to get his day started right. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna try. So I did. Sucked really bad at it, by the way. that's the truth. But I kept thinking and starting getting better and better and better. And after I got my first tricks down, like I was hooked. I was like, okay, I want to master this. I want to control this. I want to be able to jump smoothly without tripping over my rope, etc. Yeah. So, yeah, this is how.
What were those first few tricks that hooked you?
Side swings, a crossover. Now, I remember the time that I could do a side swing into a crossover. And after that, I just implemented some footwork and I felt real cool doing that. I was looking in the mirror at the gym and I was like, look at me go. I'm like controlling this thing. You know, I really felt good about myself. And this is when I really.
So do you think it's interesting to hear you say that you weren't very good when you started? If you played football your whole, like you were an athlete for your whole life. So it just didn't translate like all the footwork that you had to do in kickboxing and football, or you just were so overweight that it was difficult to do?
Yeah, maybe a bit of both. I'm not sure. It was like the first time I jumped rope. I never jumped rope before in my life. Like when I when I was little, I thought it was for girls.
Yeah.
I only wanted to play football, and that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to kick a ball, and that's it, because I was that kind of guy. And whenever I saw a jump rope, I was like, nah, that's nothing for me. Nah, I'm not doing that. Nah, nothing for me. So I never did it. And when I started out, I remember this guy coming up to me in the gym, and he was actually a boxer. And he told me, like, dude, you got to try and not stamp as much onto the ground when you jump the rope, you know, just try and flow a bit, try jumping on your toes. Because I was like, I just don't know.
Flat-footed landing.
Yeah, flat-footed, stomping into the ground and just didn't really had a feel for it. So in a way, it didn't translate. But a few weeks in, it all of a sudden, when I got the basics down, like the basic technique, and I started getting the feeling for it, like my progress went really fast, because I started progressing really fast all of a sudden when I got those basics down.
Yeah.
And yeah, the more fun it got at that point. And then I was hooked. I'm hooked into something. Can't let go. I just go into it all the way. And this is also what happened with jump rope. And yeah, that's how the story continues.
So your growth trajectory was like the hockey stick. It was kind of like this, and then just
straight up from there. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. You're amazing. So it's pretty fun to watch you jump. But talk a little bit about the fact that you started your own company. There's a lot of people that have a story like that. Like in the last 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, they started jumping rope and they loved it. And like, they're really good at it now. That's what they love to do. But very few people started their own company based on that. Like, what was the reason that you decided to do that?
Yeah. So, at the start, when I started jumping rope, I was looking for a lot of people online that were doing the same, because except for that friend that told me about jumping rope, I knew nobody in my direct environment was doing the same. And this friend, he kind of did it, but he then quit after a few weeks after telling me I should do it. So
what's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a period, I think. But so I was alone at that stage, jumping rope. So I went online and I started looking for other people doing the same. And then I started seeing more and more people. Like when you like the first posts on Instagram of people jumping rope, you get more and more of those people in your feed and in your explore page. And I started seeing more and more people jumping. And I was like, yo, this is a thing. Great. Yeah. Let's connect with those people, like, you know, because I love connecting with people that share the same passion as me. Yeah. So talking to people. And all of a sudden, a community formed. Like, I had a few people that were always engaging with my posts, and vice versa as well. I was always engaging with their posts and like encouraging each other to practice certain tricks, encouraging each other with new challenges. Like, hey, today I learned this footwork. Yeah. Maybe you want to try it, or did you try this song for your jump rope routine? It's really nice. And we just started sharing tips and tricks, routines and challenges with each other. And also had a group chat on Instagram where we shared our progress, etc. And this community started growing and growing and growing. And after about 6 to 8 months in, so many people were coming over to me asking me, like, how did you learn these tricks? What kind of ropes are you using? Do you give workshops? Do you have tutorials? Like the demand started growing. And I just asked the community that we were forming in that Instagram group. I just asked them, like, what would you guys think about if I would start a jump rope brand? Like, would you guys like to be a part of this if we would do something? And they were all so excited. Yeah, let's do it. Like, everybody was, I mean, we were always in like a very positive vibe of always trying to uplift each other
right.
in whatever we're trying to do. And they were all so, so excited. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go. And out of that energy, the Elevate family started. And we started calling ourselves the Elevate family because we were always uplifting each other, like always trying to get each other to a peak state and just getting better there. And I was like, no, you know what? Elevate family, let's call it Elevate Rope. And let's start and share that message of becoming a better version of you using a jump rope as a vehicle. And this is where it all started. And that's basically how the brand started.
So it wasn't like you're like had a vision. It was just kind of this organic thing that grew out of what you love to do and the personality that you have of connecting people and being all into something. And I thanks for sharing the story, man. I hadn't heard it. And I'd been wondering, you know, like what's Elevate Rope? Like I kind of knew like the gist of it, but I hadn't heard your story. So thanks for sharing. I love it. Like encouraging people. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you have just, I mean, talking to you for the last 10 minutes or so, like you have a really encouraging presence. So I can see that being authentic to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, for sure. So you got going, you're 3.5 years in now, you're in the Netherlands, right? So what has the impact of what you've done, what has that impact been like in your part of the world over there in Europe?
Yeah. So, I think the impact is quite big. It's not as big as I want it to be, because my goal is, my hopes for the future are that I go to the gym, I just see everybody jumping rope, and like that's like what I hope to accomplish in a few years, and to get the whole sport of jump rope somewhat more mainstream here in the Netherlands, and we're really at the start of that. Like we are getting asked to host events. We're getting asked for workshops, to come on schools, for demos. So there's really something happening. And also this year I've been on national TV a few times as well, where I can talk about jump rope, and also for interviews, like to tell my stories.
Yeah.
And some national coverage in a few newspapers too. So it's starting to grow, but we're not there yet. But starting, like the seeds are being planted here and there, and I see more and more people picking up in jump rope here in the Netherlands. So that's something I'm very happy about. But it's quite a long battle. It's not like I can the thing that I want. I'm aware I can do that in a year. Not in 2 years, not in three. It will probably take quite some years before it will really be established as something mainstream.
Yeah. So you're aware of that and you're committed to the long run to see it happen. So let's go straight for the point of this podcast, which I mean, similar to what you're doing, right? You're elevating, you're encouraging, you're uplifting. We want to do the same. And one way that we've kind of identified people need encouragement is in their hard seasons. Like it sounds like in a hard season, and jump rope was a thing that you used to get elevated, right? Out of that space. And, you needed a friend to help you. Like sometimes we need perspective from other people's stories, and we need hope, that it's going to end the hard season we're in. And so we thought, what better way to do that than to hear other people's stories of the hardest thing they've been through and like why they grew or how they grew out of it. So that's the whole point of this podcast. And the question that that we settled on is, what's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back?
I always refer to not getting a job after being graduated. I actually did my bachelor applied psychology, and I always had this dream vision of going to school, always trying to get good grades, graduating, and then make a ton of money in doing something I love, which is helping people. I've always had the desire to help people overcome hardships in their life, which is also why I started studying psychology. I knew it was something that gave me a lot of positive energy to help people overcome certain things. And this is why I chose that direction. So I graduated. However, psychology is normally a master's education. And that year was, I think it was the first or the second year that the psychology education, that you could do it on a bachelor, how do you say it?
Like program track degree?
Yeah, bachelor degree, like program. So we had the master that was like the smartest kids of everyone, master. And then you have the bachelor, and you know, when you're not quite as good with your grades to go to the master, you can go to the bachelor and still do psychology. And I think it was the second, first or second year that that it was available, and I signed up for it because that was my level and that was the thing I wanted to do. But next to me, like the whole country signed up for that because everybody wanted to do it because it was new. It was nice, but we also had a lot of graduates in the same time period, meaning not enough jobs because it was quite new and many graduates, but little jobs. And I kept trying to, I did so many interviews. I remember that I had a goal for myself, like every day I wanted to write at least 5 letters to different companies within the Netherlands. And it was like, kept going. And after like 2 months of pure like neglects, like nobody hired me. I was so insecure in a way, because the first time when you hear no, you're like, okay, you know what, doesn't matter. The second time you're like, okay, sure. But the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th time of hearing a no, you get very uncomfortable. And for me, I started doubting myself. I was quite young at that time as well. I graduated at 22 from the top of my head. So that was the year I started really, you know, wanting, going for a job. But yeah, at that time, I felt quite insecure because in my head, nobody wanted me because I wasn't good enough. So at that time, I had to choose like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep trying and get a job in the field that I graduated from? Or am I going to start somewhere where they do want me and work my way up from there and see where the ship sails? So I chose option 2, and I started working at a call center at that time for minimum wage. Could barely afford my everything I needed to afford at that time. So while doing so, I started looking for ways to earn more when I was at home, because I needed to, because I wasn't earning enough. So I went online and started learning online marketing, and I wanted to do something that I could do at night after my normal job to get some extra earnings in. And about 6 to 8 months in learning online marketing and doing stuff like that, I really started to enjoy it. And I started earning money with online marketing at that stage. And a year after that, I started earning so much money with my online marketing that I could just leave my normal job in the call center at that time.
Yeah.
And being rejected at that time, after being graduated, has actually opened up a new doorway to entrepreneurship for me.
If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and head to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. It helps a ton. And there's a reason all the podcasts you listen to ask you to do this. We want to continue to encourage people in the middle of their difficult seasons, and your ratings help boost our podcast visibility and the stories of our guests. Did you pause it and leave a review? If so, thank you. All right, back to our conversation.
So actually being rejected at that stage, which felt horrible for me at that time, actually opened the door to entrepreneurship, which has now allowed me to share my passion with the world and live of it at the same time. And basically, live my dream in a way.
Yeah. That's wild, man. And that sounds really hard. So let's go back to that, you know, 15, 16, 18, I don't know how many total no's you heard, but that window of time when you were hearing no a lot, and before you chose option two, which was I'm going to find somebody to say yes and then see what happens. Obviously, if you're on an island, it's really easy to like start to make up the story and you're the only other person inputting into your identity. But did you have people in your life who were like saying, no, man, that's not true. Like, you're good enough, like trying to bring you up in that season. And what were they saying if you did?
Nah, not really. Because I'm kind of, when things aren't going all right, I'm kind of a loner.
Turtle up, get in your shell.
Yeah, exactly. I tend not to share it with too many people. I try to fight it and look brave on the outside and fight it from the inside myself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't tell a lot of people at that time. I think I might have told my dad at that time. But I can't really remember. Yeah, obviously he gave me some words of encouragement. Obviously, like he wouldn't be like, no, you're shit anyway, so you can't know. He's not like that. So obviously he might have given me some word of encouragement, but nothing that I can really remember up on this point. However, I do have to say, I'm a sucker for motivational videos, etc. So whenever I feel down, like even now, every morning, when I brush my teeth, I have my AirPods in. When I walk to work, like I have my AirPods just listening to motivational speakers, like every morning. And just this always gives me a feeling of invincibility. Like when I listen to it, I'm like, and I've been doing this for years. Like, I think maybe even all the way back into my puberty, I've been listening to my speakers in a way. So it's also part of my, at this stage, it's part of my belief system that whatever happens, it happens for a reason. And no matter how bad a situation gets, like, whenever you come out of it, you'll be a better person for it. Like, that's like something that I truly believe in.
Yeah, you've got the perspective. So who's your go-to or like maybe your best top motivational speaker that really having a hard day? This is your person that you're listening to.
It's a hard question, you know, because there's quite a few. Generally, I do compilations, and I like them. I like to switch them off. And then one speaker comes, another speaker comes. I do think E.T. is very powerful in his wording because he speaks with a lot of emotion. But yeah, there's so much. Even Will Smith, like some of his motivational speeches are so powerful because there's also a lot of emotion. But on the other side, I also like speakers who go deeper into the psychology. Forgot his name. That doesn't matter. But I also like speakers that go more into the psychology of hardship and pushing forward when things are down. So combination of both worlds, where some speakers really go deep into emotion, while other speakers really go deeper into the neuropsychology of why people do the things they do.
Right. Yeah. So like the Jordan Petersons and Andrew Huberman type people.
Jordan Peterson is that's the guy that I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That dude's real smart.
Real smart. Yeah.
Man. My wife has listened to him a ton, so I've therefore listened to him a bunch because she's not using her headphones. She listens to him. So, and I appreciate him too. He's just a really wise guy. So talk about your inclination to kind of internalize everything. Like, have you always been that way? And have you ever wondered why? Because some people will just throw it on everybody. You know, they're like, I'm struggling, and they tell everybody, you know, like some people are wired like you, or they kind of internalize it. But have you thought about why that's the case for you, or understand where it came from?
Actually, I haven't. It's funny that you say it, because even here on the office, we have an Elevate section here, but I work with two other friends in the front as well. They have their own company. Yeah. And one of my best friends, actually, he's very vocal. So every morning he comes in and everybody knows what's wrong. After he got called and what's not going all right in the business. And he's very vocal about it. But he's also a very vocal person in basically everything. And I think for me, I'm not that vocal in a way. I've always been the guy in the background, never really been in the center of attention. Of course, now with all that influencer stuff going on, etc., that kind of changed. But I was never the guy that I was pretty uncomfortable being in the center of attention growing up. And this is something I had to overcome by getting older. Now, I still don't like being in the center of attention all the time. Sometimes it's okay, but I don't really, it's not my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
So I think that might have something to do with it.
Yeah. So would you say you're an internal processor? Like, you like to come to decisions before you talk? Like, you've gone through every circumstance and all the different scenarios and figured out what you think and where you stand before you share that with everybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an internalizer far more than I am and so a lot of times people don't know when I'm dealing with stuff. Half the time I don't even know, because I'll just bury it and just move on, you know, trying to do. So I don't have to even process it at all. But so I can relate a little bit to.
Yes,
and I've related. You know, tried to figure out where it came from. I've thought maybe it was my dad or something, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just born that way. So
yeah, maybe it has something to do with the fact that sometimes I've been thinking about it. I've grown up in a pretty, it was a good environment, but you had to be powerful in a way. My mom was a very, very powerful woman. My dad was a very hardworking man. They were both very powerful human being. So all I've ever seen in my entire life was strength.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's trying to resonate with that example, or trying to, maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm sure it has something to do with it. Yeah, it's just like what amount, you know?
Exactly.
So do you have siblings too?
Yeah, I have two brothers and I have one sister. But I was the last one to come. I actually was. Yeah, it wasn't planned, but all of a sudden I just was there, like. Hey, <me."> I am 8 years apart from my sister, and I don't even know. I believe my older brother is about 19 years apart from my oldest brother.
So that's wow.
Yeah.
Are you close with any of your siblings?
Not really. Not as close that I'd like to be.
Yeah.
We do talk and we're all good with each other, but we aren't as close that I'd love to be.
So, yeah. I mean, 19 years is that's a big gap. So, and even 8 years is a big gap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And are they all still in the Netherlands?
No, my two brothers are. My sister lives in Thailand.
Whoa, that was not what I was expecting you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be hard to be close to somebody in Thailand when you're not there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. So let's go back to the job stuff. You got into the call center, and at any point were you like, okay, I made the right choice, this is what I should be doing? Or like, what was your mindset after you said yes to the call center job for maybe the first 6 months or a year or however long?
Yeah, I love that question, actually, because my mindset was like, okay, you know what? I'm taking this job and I'm going to crush it. Like, I'm going to be the best worker that they've ever seen on this world. So, I just started to go all in. I started to, it was a sales job, had great numbers. And within 6 months, I also did a lot of overtime, started thinking about things to not only get my own numbers better, but the numbers of the whole floor better. Like, I was really involved with the company. So within 6 months, I was able to get a higher function. So I was a team leader at that stage. And also with the team, I was so focused on just doing my job right. And we all also had great numbers as well with the team. And this is also where I learned a lot of leadership, because I had so many, at a point my team had 25 people in it. And when you have 25 people that you need to manage, like, there's so many different personalities, so many different ways of talking to people, of handling objections, of being mad at people, like coaching people. There's so many different things you learn. And at that time, I was aware, like, okay, I made the right choice. Because this experience that I'm getting now, I can use it my whole life.
Yeah.
And even though the pay was still shitty, even at a leading management functionality, like, the pay was still shitty, but I did get fulfillment out of it, because I had some type of responsibility for the people in my team. And this is something that that just gives me a lot of energy. Like, I love responsibility in a way. The feeling of responsibility has a really positive effect on me as a person, on me as on my energy. And I just felt great in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk a little bit about, like, your mindset, because there was another option for you. It could have been like, woe is me. Like, I got this terrible call center job where I make minimum wage, but I've got this degree, like, everything's against me. And you could have just been like, I'm just going to clock in, clock out, do the job, but this isn't where I want to be, you know? But how, what about you made you have the like attack? I'm going to be who I want to be in the thing I want to be doing in this place I don't want to be. Like, super confusing language, but I hope you track what I was saying.
No, absolutely. And I think you worded it very well. Because it is definitely, the easier choice would definitely be to like do whatever is asked from you to do and just leave it at that because you're not really where you want to be. But I noticed every time, I think it also has something to do with constantly feeding my mind with these motivational speeches in a way that there's a lot of talking when things are down, but about when things are down. And I noticed that every time I have a seasonal dip or something happens which is not good or which I kind of hate or which makes me feel down, something in my mind triggers. A little voice in my mind just tells me like, okay, this is the moment where you show to yourself who you really are.
Yeah.
You're not a boss when things are going the way you wanted to go. That's not where you show that you're a boss. You show you're a boss when things are down. This is what defines you as a person. And I think having that that recognition, that belief, that knowledge, that's the time that defines you as a person, that had helped me go through a lot of hardships. Mm-hmm. Basically, every time when something happens and I'm having a hard time with it, this is the voice that I'm hearing in the back of my head. Like, this is the moment. This is where you define yourself as a person. Who do you really want to be? Mm. And that's the moment I start taking action in the direction of positivity.
Yeah. So you see them as opportunities, like at the end of the day. This is an opportunity to be a better version of who I'm supposed to be or who I want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not easy at all. But I manage like the more often, the earlier you adopt that mindset, the more often you can practice it. And the more you do it, the more natural it comes.
Yeah. Well, I think there's psychology, like the science, right? You've got these like neural pathways, right, in your brain. And they just, the more you travel those same routes, the deeper they get and the, you know, like the more regular it becomes. But if you, you know, can change that, it sounds like you got some deep neural pathways of like seeing things as opportunities.
Just through
time. Yeah.
I think it's fun. It's nice to talk about this because I never talk about things like this. Now it's like I'm really, it's like having a mirror and really diving in deep into my own head, questioning why I do the things the way I do them, you know? So some really good questions there.
Well, I'm curious, man. It's interesting to like hear how you process. And I mean, you've been a successful, entrepreneur, and I think have an interesting mindset. Like, not a lot of people think the way you think, right? That I'm even just thinking of my brother who's younger than me, and he does not look at a job he doesn't want as an opportunity. You know, like that's not a normal thing. And so it's interesting to like understand how you can get there. But
I got you.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to give you a chance to make your, like, this is your chance to do your own motivational speech for somebody in their own hard moment. So, you know, you've been hearing all these other people do motivational speeches that have encouraged you. Let's get Geraldo Alkin's motivational speech for somebody in the middle of their own hard moment right now.
No pressure. I'd say, I'd say everything. I actually heard this from another guy that I had an interview with 2 days ago. And he also, like, I said it, but he rephrased it in a better way.
You're taking it from him.
Yeah, so I'm using his words.
You're the OG for it anyway, so you can have it. Yeah.
So the thing is, everything is seasonal. Whether it's success or whether it's hardships. The hardships that you're going through right now, so the no's that you're getting, might just be the no that you need to eventually grow into that person you need to be to reach your goals and live your dream. That's something that I want to share from my own experience, because this is how it went for me.
Yeah.
And I think seeing your hardships in this perspective will help you get through them easier and make you a better person for it as well in the long run.
I'm gonna cue some music behind it, some like motivational music, and it's gonna be the next hit. Yeah, people are gonna have you in their earbuds moving forward.
Who knows?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about making your own motivational videos?
I actually have. I'm currently playing around with some TikTok videos, but I use voiceovers from other people, so it's not really my motivational video. Yeah. But I actually have. I think it would give me a lot of energy to inspire other people to become better version of themselves.
Yeah.
I think I'd love that. I do have to become better at English, though, if I want to do that in English.
But, if you want to do them in English, yeah.
Yeah.
But, dude, it's not your first language. Like, people always, I shouldn't say this. A lot of people will apologize, like, hey, sorry, I can't say this thing. And I'm like, you have no need to, you're speaking my language. I have done nothing to make this conversation happen. So, like, don't feel bad about any of it. I couldn't say anything in Dutch, so it just is what it is. But
thanks.
Yeah, your English is great. I've had no issues understanding you. I think you could do it. Yeah, man. Okay, so I like to finish these conversations with the same question, because I think, and you've said this, like, hard things are just a part of life, and you don't just like have your one hard season and then you're done. You checked it off the list and the rest is going to be good. Like, you're going to have seasons of hardship. So what's a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
A hard thing that I'm in the middle of right now would be progressing to the next stage of our business. We've been at a point, you know, I have a lot of experience managing small businesses.
Yeah.
And where I do everything myself. I don't have any experience managing a small to medium-sized business or growing into a medium-sized business.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of things to learn there. And this is my challenge at the moment. I wouldn't say I'm struggling with it, because I actually enjoy learning new things. However, it's something I don't know yet. So a lot of things that you don't know that are outside of your comfort zone, you have to experience them. You have to fall flat on your face. You have to grow from, learn from others. So that's something that I'm currently in the middle of really growing out of that, you know, single man business mindset into a business owner mindset, and really start to look at serious numbers, really start to look at hiring more people, hiring the right people, etc. It's just hard. It's just hard.
Dude, yeah, it totally is. I mean, we're in that medium size, I guess you could call us, and it's not Yeah, it's just different challenges, right? Like,
yeah,
if you can make your own decisions all the time, like, stuff gets done way faster, and you know you can trust what the way it's getting done. And yeah, but good problem to have, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's definitely a good problem to have. And I know I'm not there yet as a business owner, but I know I will be there yet. Mm. I will be there in a few years' time, hopefully a few months. But I know this will take some time. And probably I will fall more times than I want to fall. But I know in the end, it's all part of the learning process.
Yeah. I listened to a talk. I can't remember who it was right now, but they had this, it was about growth mindset. And one little phrase, like, or one trick that they gave was, anytime you find yourself like saying something negative about yourself or saying like, I can't do this thing, just add the word yet at the end. Like, oh, I'm not a business owner yet. Or I haven't been able to like do my finances yet. And it's like, just tricks your mind into like, oh, I'm getting better and I'll get there. You know, yeah, dude, this was so fun, man. I didn't know, too much about your story, and I'm really grateful to get to know you a little bit more. And I'm inspired. Like, you're just a motivational guy. Like I told you earlier, you're encouraging, and you've got that encouraging presence about you. So I know I'm better after spending some time with you, and thankful that you were willing to do it.
Love that, man. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you are encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/elitesrs. Have a blessed day.